I want to thank you for taking the course that's before us in the book of Zechariah. And before we begin, I want to say that I don't think anyone, if they're honest with themselves, knows everything about the book of Zechariah. But what I have before us is a course in the book of Zechariah that I hope will be a blessing to you as much as it has been a blessing to me going through it and studying it on my own. And Zechariah is probably one of the more difficult books to study, but nevertheless, it's a very important book, amen, a very important book of prophecy, as we're going to see as we go along. And we're going to be beginning lesson number one in just a moment. And before you, I hope that you have the course outline on the book of Zechariah. And we see in lesson number one, which we're going to begin in just a moment, we have five things that we want to cover in lesson number one. A little bit of an introduction. Number two, the historical setting of the book of Zechariah. Number three, we'll talk about a little bit about the writer. And number four, we'll look at some themes of the book of Zechariah. And then we'll close out lesson number one with point number five. We'll look at Zechariah's first sermon. So before we begin, let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you and praise you for this opportunity to go through the book of Zechariah with the students of Andersonville Baptist Seminary. I pray that you would bless those that are taking the course. Father, I just pray the Holy Spirit would have its will and its way as we study this important book of prophecy. Father, I pray that we would study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Father, I just pray that you'd give me your wisdom and discernment and the words to speak and the clarity of speech. And I pray that you'd open the hearts and the minds of those who are taking this course. And Father, now we just commit this time that you've provided us, and we ask it all in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Alrighty, let's look at lesson number one as we begin with the introduction in lesson number one, the book of Zechariah. Now, the city of Jerusalem is much in the news these days. And many are asking the question, will it be attacked again? The answers to these and many more questions are found in the book of Zechariah. The city of Jerusalem is mentioned 39 times in this book. In Zechariah chapter 1, verses 12 through 17, God makes it clear that he is in control of the destiny of the city. And he says, I will have mercy. I am jealous for Jerusalem. My house shall be built. The Lord shall yet comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem. See, we know if we study the Word of God, and of course, when we say the Word of God, we mean the Authorized Version 1611 King James Bible. And of course, that's a prerequisite for the course that you use the King James Bible as we go along in these lessons. But as we know by studying the Word of God, that the Lord God is not through with Israel, dealing with Israel. He's just set her aside for rejecting his Son, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and is dealing with the Gentiles and calling out a body, the body of Christ, made primarily of Gentiles, but Jew and Gentile can all be saved alike in this age of grace, this church age, amen, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith alone and Christ alone, amen. Let's look at the historical setting now of the book of Zechariah, the historical setting. When Zechariah began his ministry of encouragement in hope to the returned remnant, 16 years had already elapsed since Cyrus had issued his decree in 536 B.C. We see this in Ezra, the book of Ezra, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And some 50 exiles had returned to Jerusalem from Babylon. With high hopes, they planned to resettle in the land and rebuild the temple. By the second month of the following year, 535 BC, they had laid the foundation of the structure. And we can see this in the book of Ezra. Let's turn to the book of Ezra, chapter 3, for just a moment. The book of Ezra with me. Ezra chapter number 3 with me. In Ezra chapter 3, we read in verses 11 through 13 the following. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord God, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever towards Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. But due to opposition from the Samaritans, and we read about that opposition in Ezra chapter 4, verse 5, and hired counsel against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even unto the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Spiritual, not only the opposition from the Samaritans, but spiritual declension and other causes, the work fell into abeyance for almost 14 years while the people gave themselves to building their own homes and other selfish pursuits. When Darius succeeded to the Persian throne, the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, fearing that the decrees of former kings were void, began an arduous campaign under divine direction to resume the building of the temple. Inquiry and questioning of this by Persian officials led to the referral of the matter to Babylon. The original decree of Cyrus being brought to light, permission was confirmed by the Persian government, and the project went forward until its completion 4 years later in the sixth year of Cyrus. And let me give you a reference on that, Ezra chapter 5 in verses 1 through 6 in verse 17. So that's a little bit of the historical setting of the book of Zechariah. And now we want to look at the writer himself of the book of Zechariah. Well, Zechariah, we turn back to Zechariah chapter 1. We see in Zechariah chapter 1, we read in verse 1, in the eighth month, In the second year of Darius came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying. The name Iddo is, we see then that that Zechariah was the son of Berechiah, the son of the grandson of Iddo. Now the name Iddo is mentioned among the priests who returned from Babylon under Zerubbabel in 535 BC. And we see this in the book of Nehemiah in chapter number 12, verse 4. Also in Ezra chapter 5, verse 1. In Ezra chapter 6, verse 14. Zechariah was therefore a priest as well as a prophet. Presumably, he was a very young man. He was a very young man. We see this in Zechariah chapter 2, verse 4. And said unto him, run and speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. While his contemporary, Haggai, was a very old man when Zechariah began his prophetic ministry, since Haggai apparently saw the first temple standing. And we see in the book of Haggai, if we turn there, the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 3, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? So we see then that Haggai was around when the first temple was standing. Now Zechariah, the name Zechariah means Jehovah remembers. His father's name, Berechiah, means Jehovah blesses. And his grandfather's name means his time. And if we put them together, the names together, you have the following. Jehovah remembers to bless in his time. Jehovah remembers to bless in his time. So that's a little bit on the writer, Zechariah, of the book of Zechariah. Now, we want to turn our attentions to, on our outline, point number 4 in lesson 1, themes of Zechariah. First of all, we want to see that Christ is the main character of the book. In fact, Christ is mentioned more in Zechariah than any other Old Testament book. Important messianic predictions of Zechariah include Jehovah's servant, the branch, and we see this in Zechariah chapter 3, verse number 8. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. And of course, we see the branch, the word branch, is all in capital letters, meaning referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see the prediction of Zechariah include Jehovah's servant, the branch, also the man, the branch, in Zechariah chapter 6, verse 12. And speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Again, another reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, we see Jesus is referred to as the king priest in Zechariah chapter 6, verse 13. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them and both. Also we see Christ referred to the true shepherd Christ in Zechariah chapter 11, beginning in verse 4. Thus saith the Lord my God, feed the flock of the slaughter, whose possession slay them, and hold them themselves not guilty, that they that sell them say, blessed be the Lord, for I am rich, and their own shepherds pity them not. For I will no more pity the inhabitants of land, saith the Lord, but lo, I will deliver the men, every one into his neighbor's hands, and into the hands of his king. And they shall smite the land out of their hands, I will not deliver them. And I will feed the flock of the slaughter, even you, O poor of the flock. And I took upon me two staves, and one I call beauty, and the other I call bands. And I fed the flock. And it goes on down through verse 11. So we see then Christ, the true shepherd, mentioned in Zechariah chapter 11, verses 4 to 11. And then also, we also see the true shepherd Christ mentioned, but also we see the opposite mentioned, the false shepherd, the Antichrist. We see him mentioned in Zechariah chapter 11, verses 15 and 17. And the Lord said unto me, take unto thee yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young ones, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still, but he shall eat the flesh of the fat, and tear their claws in pieces. He's doing this false shepherd. The Antichrist is doing the opposite of what the true shepherd would do. Verse 17 of Zechariah 11, woe to the idle shepherd, that's another name for the Antichrist, that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean, dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. Also, we see the betrayal of the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, mentioned in Zechariah 11, verses 12 and 13. And of course, this is the betrayal of the Messiah when he came the first time prophesied in Zechariah. Zechariah 11, verses 12 and 13. And I say unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it upon the potter, a goodly price that I was prized at them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. And of course, we have prophesied in Zechariah that Jesus would be bought off with 30 pieces of silver, betrayed, amen, by Judas Iscariot. Also, we see Christ's crucifixion prophesied in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. So we see here that when the Lord returns, those that pierced him, those that crucified him, will see him. And then also, we see prophesied in the book of Zechariah in reference to Christ, his sufferings. His sufferings. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. And of course, this is talking about the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. He certainly was smitten, amen. And his followers were scattered, amen. And then we see also, not only do we see the Messiah prophesied, his coming, his betrayal, his crucifixion, amen, his suffering, but praise the Lord, also in Zechariah is prophesied the Lord Jesus Christ, his second advent in glory when he returns. Looking in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. We know in the book of Acts, in chapter 1, we know that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, where he's seated right now at the right hand of the Father from the Mount of Olives. And we know, we were told in the book of Acts, that he would return. Amen. That he would return to the Mount of Olives. And we see here it prophesied by the prophet Zechariah that he would someday return. And his feet, my friend, will touch down on the Mount of Olives. And we see where the Mount of Olives is before Jerusalem. The Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst. Amen. Split in half. Go towards the east and go towards the west. Amen. Not also, as we're looking, we're in lesson number one, and we're looking at the themes of Zechariah, and one of them is Christ. The next one we want to look at is Jerusalem. Jerusalem. This book, Zechariah, ranks next to Daniel as an Old Testament unveiling of God's plans for the Jews. The city of Jerusalem is mentioned 39 times in Zechariah. In Zechariah chapter 1, verses 14 through 17, you have the key verses of the book. God is jealous for Jerusalem. Let's look at those verses. Zechariah chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. So the angel that communed with me said unto me, Cry thou, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. And I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease. For I was but a little displeased that they helped forward the affliction. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Cry yet, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, My cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. We see that in the verses we just read that God is jealous for Jerusalem. He will punish the heathen for what they did to his city. And he will one day restore the city in glory and peace. The fact that God has chosen Jerusalem and his grace is often mentioned in this book. We just read in Zechariah chapter 1 verse 17 where he says that he will choose Jerusalem. We read in Zechariah chapter 2 verse 12, and the Lord shall inherit Judah in his portion in the Holy Land and shall choose Jerusalem again. We see in Zechariah chapter number 3 and verse number 2, and the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem. He will have mercy on the city and will one day, my dear friend, dwell in the city. In Zechariah chapter 8 verse 3, thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Also in verse 8 of Zechariah chapter 8, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people. And I will be their God in truth, in righteousness. Oh, my dear friend, what a glorious future for the nation of Israel. God's not through with them yet. They're going to have to go through the great tribulation, a time this earth has never seen before. But, oh, my dear friend, we see what a glorious promise that the Lord God Almighty has chosen Jerusalem as his city, and he will dwell one day in that city with his people. And then the last theme we want to look at in the book of Zechariah is comfort. Comfort. The book was written to be a comfort to Israel. We read in Zechariah chapter 1 verse 13, and the Lord answered the angel that talked with me with good words and comfortable words. Verse 17 of Zechariah chapter 1. Cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Comfort comes through mystery. For example, we see some mysteries in Zechariah. Look at chapter 1, verse 8. And I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse. And he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behind him were their red horses speckled in white. Verse 18 of chapter 1. Then lifted I up mine eyes, and saw, behold, four horns. Zechariah chapter 2 verses 1 to 3. And I lifted up my eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, whither goest thou? And he said unto me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof and what is the length thereof. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him. Zechariah chapter 4. Some mysteries. Verse 1, and the angel that talked with me came again and walked me and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep. Zechariah chapter 5 verse 1, then I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll. Verse 6, Zechariah 5 verse 6, and I said, what is it? And he said, this is an ephah that goeth forth. And he said, moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. Yes, my dear friend, Zechariah saw some mysteries, some strange things that he had never seen before. But through these mysteries comes comfort. God comforts them through the promise of restoration. And we see that promise of restoration, Zechariah 8:8. And I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and righteousness. Zechariah chapter 10, 9. And I will sow them among the people, and they shall remember me in far countries, and they shall live with their children and turn again. So those are the three themes of Zechariah. Again, we see Christ mentioned over and over again. We see Jerusalem mentioned. And of course, the book was written, as we just saw, to bring comfort to Israel through mysteries and through the promise of their restoration. Now let's go to Zechariah's first sermon. And under that, we want to see point number one, call to repentance. So let's begin in Zechariah chapter number one. We'll read the first three verses. Zechariah chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. In the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, The Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. Therefore say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. What's interesting here is Zechariah preached what had been preached many times before. If man expects God to be responsive to his needs, it is essential for man to turn from sin. And we see this, we see that the prophet Isaiah, if you turn with me to the prophet Isaiah, preached this too, amen. Isaiah chapter 55. Verses 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. What would be the result? And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Look at in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter number 3. Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Go and proclaim these words to the north, and say, Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Look at in Joel. We see that repeated over and over and over again. This is nothing new that Zechariah is preaching to the nation of Israel, that if you expect God to be responsive to your needs, turn from your sin, get right with God, and he will bless you. Look with me in the book of Joel. The book of Joel with me. In Joel chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Therefore also now saith the Lord, Turn you even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. And rend your heart, and not your garments. And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Amos. Look with me in the prophet Amos. In Amos chapter number 5, verses 4 and 6. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, Seek ye me, and ye shall live, Seek the Lord, and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. Also look at Hosea, the book of Hosea, chapter 7, verse number 10. And the pride of Israel testifieth to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. And then we see in the book of Malachi, with me, chapter 3 of Malachi. Malachi chapter number 3, verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from my ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, where shall we return? So we see Zechariah's first sermon, point number one, is a call to repentance. Point number two is a warning from history. Let's return to the book of Zechariah, chapter 1, and verses 4 through 6. Zechariah chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. Warning from history, point number 2 from Zechariah's first sermon. Be ye not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn you now from evil ways, from your evil ways, and from your evil doings. But they did not hear nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us according to our ways and according to our doings, so hath he dealt with us. Four times in the course of his introductory sermon, Zechariah uses the expression, your fathers. We see it in verse 2. The Lord has been so displeased with your fathers. Verse 4. But not as your fathers. Verse 5. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? Verse 6. But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? Their example of disobedience and apostasy is employed as a severe warning. And that warning is from Zechariah, do not be like your fathers. Do not be like your fathers. People look with pride, if possible, to their ancestors, and frequently try to follow their example. You know, I think of when Jesus was on the earth, and he was dealing with the religious crowd of his day, and, you know, they were very prideful. They believed that they were all set and right with God because they were of the physical seed of Abraham. And of course, Christ told them, that means absolutely nothing, amen? Is your heart right with God is what counts. Pride, again, we know the sin of pride is what destroyed Satan and caused him to fall, amen? From being the anointed cherub, amen? But this is prohibited by Zechariah. And the reason is plain. Their fathers were not only neglectful, but inattentive to the word of the Lord, which was preached by the former prophets. And we saw that. We saw that call of repentance. Like we said, Zechariah's message to call to repent, to get right with God, if they if they thought they wanted God to be responsive to their needs. And we saw Isaiah preached it, Jeremiah preached it, Joel, Amos, Hosea, Malachi, and now Zechariah is preaching the same thing and telling the nation of Israel to repent. Learn from your fathers. Learn from history. They didn't listen to God, and see what happened to them. They had the same message. Nothing has changed. Well, I guess the only thing we learn from history is that we don't learn from history. So we see, as we conclude lesson number one, we looked at an introduction to the book of Zechariah, the historical setting, the writer. We looked at some themes in Zechariah: Christ, Jerusalem, and comfort. And then finally, we've looked, as we close out lesson number one, we looked at Zechariah's first sermon, which is basically a two-point message: a call to repentance and a warning from history. And that concludes lesson number one of the course, the book of Zechariah.